We are also coming to you live from Splash Thrive City. I'm looking right now over at our group that is hosting their fantasy draft here at Splash at Thrive City. The faces are looking like they're getting a little bit more serious. People have filled their bellies. Now draft order is happening. People are burying themselves into their phones.
Yep.
Hardcore right now. They're grinding. I'm seeing smoke coming out of the room. We're going to get updates on that fantasy draft that is coming up. 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls on anything that we're diving into Niners-wise. But there is there's also this. And I had said earlier in the show, as we get to cut down day and you start to see significant name wide receivers become available on the market, and then you also see the 49ers fully not blink in this conversation with Juwan Jennings, where they're like, Russell Gage, you're cut. Robbie Chosen, you're cut. Like, we're not going to sit here and bolster and get ready for someone to not be there. We're going to continue to assume, same thing that Kyle said on Saturday, Juwan will be ready for week one because he ain't missing games. And I happen to know in the back of my mind what I'm not ready to tell you, which is that he's probably actually going to be healthy. He's going to be fine. When I hear that vibe, when I piece it all together, it tells me what I think we already kind of knew, which is that the Niners do have the leverage advantage on a seventh-round pick who has not made a ton of money in his career, who is trying to take advantage of the fact that he was WR1 last year, but let's be honest, he won't be again unless circumstances really twist his way. So I think the Niners have the leverage. However, Charles Davis of CBS comes on the show and seems to indicate the opposite. Take a listen to this.
Right now, you'd have to say things have tipped to his advantage because of everything that's going on at the position. People hurt, nothing solidified, what's happening there. It works for him because of that. The Super Bowl appearance does not hurt one bit. That lingers in the minds of the public and people who like the team. The other part of it is he is so darn reliable for a quarterback. You can go there and get completions, even though you say to yourself, I'm not sure how we do that.
Okay, that's Charles Davis's take. I understand where he's coming from, I really do. And he talks about the minds of the fans, and that is significant here, because this fan base loves Juwan Jennings.
Yeah.
He's been a great Niner.
He got a nickname.
Does it the right way, third and Juwan, block downfield. You've pointed that out. He had a great game in the Super Bowl and a huge year last year. So all of those things are true. I still don't see him as somebody who will legitimately sit out football games. Where do you see it? Who's got the leverage right now in this moment? It's 5:06 on Tuesday night, August 26th.
The Niners have the leverage, and it's not 100% to zero, but I would say the Niners have a good 75%. So we can all sit here on cut down day and look at the 53-man roster, and we can gasp at Cowing. He's going to miss games, and Watkins has got a high ankle, and you know if Jennings isn't there, it's going to be Sky Moore and Ricky Pearsall. Oh, my God, how are they going to do it? And two wide receivers. What if one gets hurt? You're going to go to 23 personnel, three tight ends, and two running backs, and you know, smash-mouth football. We all can panic on this day, but when you take a step back, Robbie Chosen cut, not waived. Russell Gage cut, not waived, which means they're free to move about the country. Shout out Southwest. So if they were cut, Robbie Chosen might be chilling in Los Altos waiting for a call to, hey, come on back and come to the practice squad, and you know, we're going to have you elevated for week one. It's all good. You know the situation. So I do think that the fallback plan is in place. And the other piece that you're talking about that I agree with is Juwan Jennings. And what are you going to do, Juwan? Because looking at his contract, it is $1.5 million if he plays 50% of the snaps. Now, that seems easy, but then you look at last year, and he played 63% of the snaps.
And that was as the leading wide receiver.
64% of all the snaps. So if he had last year, this year, there's $1.5 million.
Yeah.
Well, you miss a game, and then maybe you come back week two, and you get that calf flares up, and then next thing you know, it's week three, week four, week five, and you fall short of that one. And the other ones are 60 catches, $750,000, 600 yards, same amount, 6 touchdowns, same amount. You got to play to get the pay.
Yeah.
If these are your incentives, So if he doesn't get a new deal and he's bummed, well, there's $3.5 million sitting there for you to come out and just be you.
Yeah, you're playing kind of like what I think is too leveraged of a game of chicken for Juwan Jennings' taste. So in other words, the only other way to create more leverage, and I don't think Juwan wants this because he's a 49er, but the real leverage play doesn't actually come until the Niners go out, lose to Seattle, Brock Purdy gets picked twice, George Kittle's the only person who's open all day, and he's unable to connect with wide receivers, and that group looks woefully bad. Then Juwan's leverage goes up.
Yeah.
But that is a high-stakes game that I don't think Juwan is going to have the stomach for. Now, his Instagram post may suggest otherwise, but until I see it, I'm going to believe that that's all that that is, which is just an Instagram post. I do not think most players, there are very few exceptions of where a player has made enough money, has enough name value, and has the gumption to literally look at a team and be like, no, I'm not showing up. I will not play. And maybe they can hide this behind the calf injury, but the Niners are clearly moving toward, with their words, not allowing Juwan to do that. So if you were to get to next week and Juwan is listed as questionable or something like that, I don't know that the 49ers would give him the grace of saying, yeah, that calf is still a little sticky right now. I think you may see the Niners admit, no, like he's not playing, so therefore we're going to move on, we're going to maybe put him on IR or whatever. That's not a good game for Juwan.
Like, it's not good for the Niners either.
No, Emmitt Smith did that once, and he was able to win. A player of Micah Parsons might have the cachet to do this, but even Terry McLaurin, you know, Trey Hendrickson, you're watching players who did get raises, but at the same time, deadlines spurred actions. They do not want to go into game week, and I have to think the same is true for Juwan.
Absolutely, especially when you look at those bonuses. And, you know, 50% of snaps is easier said than done when, you know, if you miss a game or two and then you come in and, you know, like I was mentioning before, they do a lot of two-receiver sets. And if he's still rounding into shape, he probably isn't going to get 65 snaps in a game.
No, it's going to be limited.
Right, it's going to be limited based on him getting back to 100%. And then, guess what? You get to week 7 or 8, and here comes Brandon Ayuk. You get to week 4, here's DeMarcus Robinson. There's going to be competition for playing time. If the Niners play the way Shanahan has been successful at playing, they're going to run it at least 50% of the time, which means a lot of two-receiver sets, which means not a lot of time for a lot of receivers, let alone to get to 60 catches, 600 yards, and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, no doubt. And here's the other reason I sort of see it maybe a little bit different than Charles. And again, maybe this is a result of the echo chamber in which we live and work. But it feels to me like right now, the majority of Niner fans, maybe it's only a small majority, but the majority of Niner fans on this one currently sit on the Niner side, not Juwan's. I do not hear a drumbeat from 49er fans of pay this man. Niners, what are you doing? You got to have him. It does not sound at all like it did last year for Brandon Ayuk. And I know that's a higher leverage situation. But that was a receiver coming off of 1,300 yards and a Super Bowl appearance. You know, Charles mentions, like, this fan base saw him have a great game in the Super Bowl. Yeah, people love Juwan, but not to the point where they feel like a year after signing a new deal, the Niners should offer him yet another deal. So I think what Charles is referring to there is, are the Niners feeling pressure because of the way their fan base feels? And he might be thinking yes, and I would argue no. I don't think the 49ers are feeling that pressure at all right now.
Not yet. And you go to Seattle, and Jake Moody accounts for all 9 of your points, and you lose 14-9. The defense looks good under Saleh. Purdy's able to move the ball some, but, you know, you didn't have much other than Kittle and McCaffrey. You know, Ricky Pearsall, 6 catches for 61, fine, no touchdown. Sky Moore ran a couple of jet sweeps for 28, But other than that, you had nothing offensively, and you lose to Seattle 14-9. All of a sudden, that drumbeat gets louder about, dude, give him what he wants. We need third and Juwan.
I mean, you mentioned the name that to me is where I hear fans putting pressure on the organization right now. It has nothing to do with Juwan. It has to do with Jake. It has to do with Jake Moody.
Yeah.
He's getting a lot more talk right now from people saying, dude, what is it that you guys are all doing? Why are you in love with this guy? So we would love to hear from you here in this 5 o'clock hour. We'll keep talking out. Who has the leverage and who are you kind of hoping blinks here this week or next between Juwan Jennings and the team? 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls right now. We're talking out the Niner roster on cutdown day on 95.7 The Game, which is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I just wish to be someday a fly on the wall on how these things all play out, because the Niners now, if this is what I think it is, that is the third year in a row that they will take a key player all the way down to game week. Again, if they take Juwan into next week, and if this isn't an injury, this is the third year in a row that they are going to be taking something all the way to game week. It's a bad process. I'm not blaming them entirely. Some of it is on the players, but the bottom line is, this is not the way you want it. Look around the league and look what happened yesterday. The Bengals said, all right, today's the day we're doing Trey Hendrickson.
Right.
Washington said, today's the day that we're going to do Terry McLaurin. The 49ers and Juwan, they looked at each other and went to bed.
Right, and Cook had the same thing happen in Buffalo, right? The running back where, you know, Cook was able to get his money ahead of cutdown day.
Yep.
And so the majority of these situations, and Micah Parsons is different because it's Dallas and it's Jerry Jones, and that's just the way that's going to go. You know, Jerry going straight to the agent, and the agent says, hit the pike.
Oh,
and
dude, that
whole thing has gotten so sideways.
Yeah.
But that's just going to be the nature of it in Dallas. They've already made so many contractual mistakes that he's just costing himself tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. But this one's different because Juwan's not an A-lister. He's a solid B player for the Niners, and unfortunately, they don't have their other A-list guy, Brandon Ayuk. Like him or don't like him, they're paying him like he's a top 10 guy in the league, and he's not around. Pearsall is still mostly unproven, even though he popped at the end of last year. And beyond that, you've got no one. So to that extent, there is a little bit of leverage in Juwan's favor. But the one thing I said to Charles Davis when he joined us, and I firmly believe it, and you can call it arrogance if you want, it's Shanahan believing that he can get the most out of the least at the skill positions.
Well, let me ask you this, because this is the way I'm sort of arriving at thinking about this. All right, let's say you get to next week, you got no deal. All right, let's look at the two parties. Juwan, what are your options? What are you going to do?
You can either sit out or play for the contract you have.
All right, so now Niners. Juwan, he's still not going to sign. He's not going to practice. What are you going to do? You got a game this weekend. What are you going to do?
Well, you're going to figure out how you can designate him in a spot where you can fill his roster spot with one of these guys who is most likely going to be either on your practice squad or a street free agent.
Who is in better shape to handle said situation, Niners or Juwan?
I think it's the Niners.
I agree with you 100%.
Because Juwan is beholden to those incentives. That's where a lot of his money lies, and you got to play and catch it and get yards and score. And you can't do those things when you're on your couch or on the sideline eating popcorn.
Like when you get to Sunday in Seattle, this is what I'd argue, kind of how I look at it. What are the Niners looking for that day? They're looking for a win. What are their chances of doing that without Juwan? I think they're still like pretty good. Pretty good. I don't know what the spread is right now
two
at this
and a half.
Hour. Who's favored?
The Niners.
The Niners. You're favored. You're favored right now. Could you find some other receivers? Like, is Marquez Valdez-Scantling on the team split wide in that game, and can you win that game? I believe yes. It's not for sure. Seattle's defense, I think, is good. I don't know what Darnold's going to look like there, but, like, they've got players. That's a tough place to win. But can the Niners get a win without Juwan? Sure, they could. Can Juwan win the game that he's playing if he sits out week one? I'd argue almost assuredly no.
It depends on what happens. And I laid out the scenario before where the Niners lose 14-9 and the offense looks like they're just a good receiver away.
Right.
That would be the way that he would get some more of that leverage.
He
would
get some discussion. He would get some angry fans kind of calling us, and they would be, right? Like, it'd be a bad look. But it still doesn't tell me that the Niners are going to blink, because they could very well sit down in a boardroom together and be like, we'll beat New Orleans this week.
Two more weeks until DeMarcus comes back.
And every game that goes by, those incentives go away, and your positioning to be a free agent next year goes away. Don't forget, we're making this all about money.
Yeah. That's
the money this year. Juwan needs numbers to go out on the free agent market next year to achieve what he wants to achieve. So that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, who is in better shape if this goes as badly as it could? Nobody's in great shape, but the Niners are clearly in better shape than Juwan if we get to the idea of actually missing games.
Yeah, it's next man up, and the next man up probably won't be as good as Juwan, but you mentioned the Saints game in week two. You're probably going to go into New Orleans and be, I would say, at least 9-point favorites.
Oh,
I
think it might be that high?
Oh, yeah.
On the road?
I think so.
I know what the Saints look like on paper, but spreads, they'll move. Like, what if they come out and have a good game week one?
It's possible. And if the Niners lay an egg and they lose 14-9, sure. But I think all things created equal, they're going to be heavily favored with or without Juwan Jennings. So you get to that spot, and let's just say you go to Seattle and you win. And, you know, whoever, if it's Gage or if it's Chosen, or Pearsall has a great
touchdown
game.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, now you're thinking, all right, Juwan, turns out we may not need you as much as we thought.
That's totally that's what I don't think there's no way he and his agent, even Drew Rosenhaus, can have the stomach for that. That's a roll of the dice that you do not want to take. You sit there and play this game, play hardball, Niners go out, beat Seattle 27-17. Now what? Now what? Fan base will be lined up the next day being like, don't need you. Don't need you. Two more weeks to DeMarcus. Four more weeks to Brandon.
Right.
Don't need you. That's way too big of a risk for him, I believe.
Agreed. And I think the way that this is going to get resolved, it's one of two ways. Either he gets a new deal of some sort, some fresh money on the contract.
I like fresh money.
And that happens before before the end of the weekend. It would happen before we get to Monday morning. And the other thing that would happen is Juwan's just going to have to, you know, pull himself up by his bootstraps and show up and play. Or he shows up and my calf, it's still bugging me.
I mean, sure. That
way he still gets his money.
That could go that way. But I would, at this point, with what's been said, that would surprise me.
Yes, but to what we're talking about, there's real money to be earned. And if you don't show up, then you don't get the game check. If you show up and you're hurt, air quotes,
sure,
two fingers.
You get the game check, but you're not getting anything toward those incentives.
Correct.
You're not getting anything toward that free agent deal the next year.
Right, and I would imagine that once the season is close to starting game week, I don't know how much the Niners want to engage in contract talks at that point.
I mean, probably, yeah, not at all. Again,
like normally you do that in the middle of the year if it's a guy you love and you're just, I mean, hey, we're going to give him, you know, all this money mid-year.
I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't think, have we ever seen in the NFL a player of Juwan's stature, good player, but not a huge name, not a massive player, get to a position where they're skipping games? I mean,
pretty rare.
I would be shocked if that's the way it goes. And again, that's why it was such a powerful statement when Kyle Shanahan said, oh yeah, we expect him week one. He should be good by then. Like, the minute he said that, I'm like, oh boy. Like, Kyle's taking the injury out of play. He's taking your excuse away from you, dude.
Yeah.
It's exactly what he did.
And he's also letting the world know that kind of what you're just talking about, which is a player who's making that much, who has made that much, they're not just going to turn down 1/17 of, and I had it here before, his game check. His game check's not huge, but it's not nothing.
No, God.
You know, it's a significant piece of the pie, and so, you know, you're not going to give that up. At the same time, when you have that Instagram post and you basically say, you know, you'll be sorry for messing with me. And then if you got to go tail between the legs and you got to go back, and believe me, I've had situations where I've had to go back into situations
where
you know, you're either threatening to blow up the spot or you kind of blow it up, and then you look around, it's like, ooh, boy, I kind of,
back to work.
Get that apology ready.
Yep, for sure. I think a lot of us have been there. Gene in Oakland, let's go out to the phones. We'd love to hear from you here on Tuesday. We're out here at Splash at Thrive City, 888-957-9570, the number. Gene's on the line. Hey, Gene, what are you doing?
I'm going to pick up the pooch. Go to the dog park.
Attaboy.
So, wait, you're going to pick up the pooch? Would you leave the dog there, Gene? You're supposed to stay at the dog park with the dog.
No, the dog is at the house. I'm at the house now. I'm going to go get the dog.
Got it. Okay, you scared me for a minute. The dog. Just so everyone knows, dog parks are not drop-off parties. But anyway, go ahead, Gene.
she's a good dog, but she gives you pause sometimes. Anyways.
Not pun intended.
Nice, Gene.
Pause. Well done.
Yeah, no pun intended. All right, anyways. Hey, listen, I'm afraid, I don't know, you guys or too many of us are maybe looking at this season, at least the beginning of the season, through rose-colored glasses, because I'm a little concerned. I mean, we are weak at the wide receiver position. We've got a whole new defense, for Christ's sake. I mean, I love that Robert Saleh is coming back, and you know as soon as they let him go, I called and said, grab that guy. But you know, listen, we got a lot of guys that are going to have to learn the system or learn the game. You know, it's going to take a while for the defense to really start gelling and playing well. Meanwhile, you know, last year we had a lot of trouble with separation in our wide receiver core. We're going to have the same damn problem and worse in the beginning this year if Juwan's not on board. So, I mean, I think it's really important they try to reach a deal. And as far as, what to pay him, well, yeah, don't pay him as a number one. But, I mean, if they – I haven't followed this that closely. I heard you was asking for, what, 20-plus? No, they don't want to give him that. But have we made an offer? Do we know that? And if so, how much? That's a question.
Yeah, Gene, thanks. Appreciate it. I have no information on what he's asking for or what has been offered or any of that. The more I think about this, I don't think, here's another way to look at it. I don't think a lot of people have thought about it this way yet. The Niners don't want Juwan to do this year what he did last year. That's not their plan. It may happen, but that's not their plan. And it wasn't their plan last year either. And then everything went sideways, and Ayuk got hurt, and all of a sudden Juwan needed to step forward. But this year, the plan, I'm sure, is to be more centered about, first of all, Christian McCaffrey, but second of all, Ricky Pearsall, and then each few weeks you're going to probably acquire a new receiver, DeMarcus Robinson, and then Brandon Ayuk. Who knows who else steps forward? But the Niners, I would think, would not predict that Juwan's going to go for almost 1,000 yards this year. So they want to pay that player. Juwan wants last year's player to be paid. And I think that's sort of the argument. As far as separation for wide receivers, I'm a big believer that Christian McCaffrey's presence alone will create more separation for the receivers because it takes the defense's eyes in a completely different direction. And then as far as the defense, I'll tell you what, Gene mentioned a phrase that I'm really excited about. He said, I don't know about the defense. It's a whole new defense. And I'm like, great.
Yeah.
Like, do y'all understand what a good thing that is? They cannot be worse than they were last year.
If they are, then we're back to 6-11, and then all bets are off.
Yeah.
And if you look at the starters they brought back from last year, they're primarily the guys that you would want to keep, like Renardo Green and D'Amador Lenore and Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. And so you're going to intersperse some young guys, rookie, second year, third year. You bring back a coordinator who's been successful here. You're playing against a bottom-tier group of quarterbacks, as you mentioned earlier. That list of quarterbacks is not going to strike fear into you, unlike last year when you faced Mahomes and you faced Josh Allen on the road and you faced Green Bay coming off a bye and you weren't. And so last year your slate of quarterbacks was a lot tougher than it is this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, let's keep going. Jake in Richmond. Hi, Jake. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, I just wanted to touch on third and Juwan a little bit.
Let's do it.
So we know Juwan is a dog. He waited for his opportunity. When he needed to raise up, he became the wide receiver one, and he was a dog. We know what we got with Juwan. With Robbie Chosen, you're talking about Robbie Chosen, the Dennis Schroeder of the 49ers.
That's
the
amazing.
Guy who
That's a four.
Lives in a U-Haul trailer because he doesn't know what team he's playing for the next season. We got Ricky Pearsall. We don't know what we have with Ricky Pearsall. We know Juwan is a dog. We need. I don't know how much he's asking for, but we need to come to an agreement with Juwan. And as far as like Jake Moody, we cut Jake Moody. We're going for it on fourth down, and we're having Kyle Juszczyk kick the point after. Let's go.
Hey, Jake, can I ask you a question before you go?
Yeah.
All right. I want you to pretend for the wide receiver room, things go as well as they could possibly go in terms of health, production, separation, ability, all of those things. It is week 10 of the season. Talk to me about the wide receiver room. How does it look? Who's in there? What's the pecking order?
Kittle is wide receiver one.
Okay. And
you know, hopefully we have a healthy Christian McCaffrey, and we have Juwan and Pearsall. And Robbie Chosen, you know, missing catches, you know, the Dennis Schroeder that we're all, you know, hoping that does something on the 49ers. I mean,
but Jake, like, what about Brandon Ayuk? What about DeMarcus Robinson?
You know, Ayuk's still up in the air. Who knows if he even plays? No one knows anything about Ayuk. We're hoping he does something. I mean, he didn't look good when he was playing. So, Jennings is the wide receiver one. Pearsall, we're just going to be patient with him. And we got Kittle and McCaffrey and Brian Robinson Jr.
Jake, I'm a betting man, and you know, I don't want to, you know, if it's not of interest to you, I'm not trying to, like, draw a line in the sand. But anybody who wants action on Juwan Jennings not being this year's number one wide receiver for the 49ers, I'm taking it. I got action for anybody who wants to make that bet. Jake, thank you very much for calling.
Who bets that Juwan Jennings will be the number one?
He thinks Juwan is WR1, and I will bet anybody that that is not the way this year plays out.
I don't really think that anyone's going to surpass George Kittle as wide receiver
well,
one.
Well, what if we even said just wide
just
receiver one?
I think that
not,
Ricky
no,
Pearsall,
no tight ends.
Ricky Pearsall likely, and health is a big factor in bets like
for
this.
Sure.
You can get caught up, but it's going to be Ricky Pearsall who gets more targets. If it's equal amount of games played, I think Pearsall gets more targets. And, you know, Gene in Oakland was talking about separation, and they were dead last year in
yep.
routes, separation in routes, and a lot of that is Deebo Samuel, not a great route runner. Ricky Pearsall missed a bunch of games. He's a good route runner. Juwan's a good route runner, but he makes so many tough catches that...
Yeah, he's a big physical guy
right.
that, like, makes him, you know, he makes those catches when someone's draped
yeah.
on him.
So I think that this year, Shanahan would love it to be like 2023, where it was even targets. It was McCaffrey, Ayuk, Deebo, and Kittle, all within about 15 targets of each other. That's
yeah.
what he probably wants. And if it's DeMarcus Robinson, 14 games, and it's Ricky Pearsall, 15 games, whatever, Juwan the same, Ayuk's only going to probably play 8 or 9. But in those games, you want to spread the ball around.
The reason I'm bringing this up is it sounds to me like a lot of Niner fans want to pay Juwan Jennings simply because you're freaked out about the month of September, and that's not the way to run a business. I get it. I share your concern with next week and week 2 and week 3, but I totally understand, again, why Juwan is asking, and I don't blame him, although I don't know what he's asking for. But I also totally understand if the 49ers are like, wait a minute. So, right, we just did a contract last year. we hear you. You had a great year. But now we're going to do a long-term extension. Because that's one thing I hear. I don't know if Juwan wants a ton more money, but he wants something long-term. He wants to have some guarantees in life for his NFL salary. And I'm sure the Niners would love to have him. But if you're the Niners, are you going to do that right now? Knowing that even just by mid-season, this wide receiver room could literally be at a spot where you've got to, I don't know, find a way to get someone to a practice squad or something because you almost have too many. And that sounds silly to say right now because they're so thin, but that's why I was asking the question of, let's assume health and things go well for these receivers. What exactly are you doing with your room with Brandon Ayuk in it at $30 million? Ricky Pearsall is a first-round draft pick who, by all accounts, they love. Demarcus Robinson is coming as a free agent. You now have Sky Moore here. You gave up a little bit of draft capital for him, and you've got two young receivers who you apparently really like in Jacob Cowing and Jordan Watkins. So you got all those guys, and then you're going to break off Jennings for something long-term? I don't even know if there's room for all of these guys on the roster.
There's not, and it would get you into a similar situation that you were in with Ayuk and Debo, where you and I talked about it all year. You can't really pay two guys that much money at receiver and then pay your quarterback. Well, spoiler alert, they've paid their quarterback, so you've got Ayuk making 30 average annual, and I do know that not after this year, but after next year, you have some outs. It's an out that's not totally going to hamstring your cap, but if Pearsall plays like a first-round pick this year and takes a step forward, you're going to want to keep him. Robinson got a two-year deal, and if he's able to produce, he's not making that much.
Right.
Although next offseason, he'll, of course, come and ask for more money because, according to you, that's what everyone does.
They might. I mean, if he goes for 975 yards, you
come on,
right, he will.
Come knock it on the door because, you know.
And they'll say no.
That's what we do.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, they'll say no.
Like,
I mean,
they're saying no to Juwan Jennings.
Well, correct.
Your point is well made, where you've got young receivers who are cheaper, and if Juwan Jennings really wants, I don't know, three more years and $17 million a year, you're not getting it.
Look at the Jake Moody situation. Most of the fan base is done with this guy, and what are the Niners saying? We're not moving on. Why? Part of it is the fact that he was a third-round draft pick. Absolutely. You know what I mean? They walked out of camp 2 years ago. All the players and Kyle Shanahan, they're pulling Jed York aside going, you want to know who the best quarterback in our camp is? His name's Brock Purdy. Who are you starting? Well, Trey Lance. Why? Duh.
Yeah.
Because he was the third pick in the draft. Same thing here. Juwan Jennings, I'm sorry, is not wide receiver one.
Seventh-round pick.
They have two other players who are first-rounders, and one of them's making 30 a year. They are not centering the future around Juwan. I share your stress about right now, but it would be a poor way to run a business for the 49ers to make a long-term commitment to someone that I promise you they do not see as the centerpiece of that room for the next 3 or 4 years.
Especially when they've already made that mistake. And they won't admit that Ayuk is a mistake, and I won't even say that it's definitively a mistake because he got hurt, but right now, 1 year into that deal, it's a mistake. It's not looking good, and because of that, you're not going to throw money at Juwan Jennings just because he had a great year. I think it's reasonable if he wants to ask for a little bit more and to make this $3.5 million in incentives, just make that guaranteed and give me another, you know, $7 million for next year. Just give me the $3 million guaranteed, and then you can sign me for next year. And if you want to cut me after this year, you cut me, but at least he would get that funny money, he'd get that guaranteed, and then he could still be cut in the offseason.
Yeah, that I would support, but Barrow's kind of changed my thought on it a little bit with the conversation that we had on our show yesterday, because he referred to this as a long-term extension. What Juwan wants is a long-term extension, so when people are talking about, oh, he wants 15 a year, or he wants 20 a year, I'm like, do you mean that for this year or for next year? I don't know what he's asking for, but if he's asking for long term and you're basing that ask off of last year's numbers, then yeah, he probably is asking for high teens. Probably is asking for 17 or 18 a year. That the Niner room doesn't fit that. It just doesn't.
Right.
I love the guy, too. And that's probably the conversation that's happening. And everybody takes that stuff personally, and you can get all bent out of shape about it, that you played well and put your heart out there and you want that extension, but they're running a business. And so, to me, looking down the road, that's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. You already broke 30 off for one. You have another first-rounder who you love. They are projecting him to be really good. You're not going to do an extension with another one. It just... it would be bad business.
Well, especially if you're going to base it off his numbers, yep. Because last year he had a career year without Ayuk and Debo up and down and Pearsall gunshot wound for a long time. And so his numbers were aided by the fact that you didn't have a lot of other receivers who were running around catching the football. I mean, you had Ronnie Bell with a huge drop, and you a bunch of young, inexperienced guys, and so his numbers were inflated. It's not to say he's not a good player. He is a good player, but I don't think he's going to go for 975 this year.
Jody and his friends from the South Bay have gotten a lot less loud in the last 30 to 40 minutes. Before, it was jovial. It was a lot of talk about 95.7 the game and food. And everybody was getting to know each other and having a good time. Then it got quiet.
Oh.
It got serious. Lucas is our roving correspondent on today's fantasy draft here at Splash at Thrive City. I saw you just go over there and poke around a little bit. What'd you find?
Well, I found out that they're already on round 9.
Good Lord!
We're 38 minutes into the draft. What's and they're on round 9.
What are they doing? 20 seconds a pick?
I'm not sure.
Are there 12 librarians over there? It's dead quiet.
It does sound like about half the people are on auto draft.
Oh,
so
well,
whatever
okay.
That does for you. That helps it move along.
It'll move it along.
Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase, number 1 overall,
okay.
As is predictable around this time of year. And they offered up where Christian McCaffrey went. Our guy Jody had the 8th overall pick. He was hoping to get McCaffrey at 8. He was not available. He went around 5.
Yeah, I've learned that Bay Area-based drafts, Christian does not get to the 8th or 9th pick.
I
lost out on that, too.
I also was wondering, how serious are we taking this? Who's
right.
in the league? Are we playing for a lot of money? I got the answers to most of these things. They offered up that they don't know what they're playing for in terms of first place. They are playing for last place punishment.
Okay.
So there was some sort of punishment committee, and they were worried about
punishment
starting with what the last place will have to do in terms of punishment. They'll get to the first place prize later.
Okay.
Sensible.
But they haven't actually figured out what the last place punishment is either.
They have a committee.
They had some ideas.
What are we doing here?
They're in discussion.
They're thinking.
The committee behind closed doors.
All right. I've loved everything about them until now. And it's not personal.
Wow.
But the bottom
felt
line
personal.
No, there is an absolute cardinal rule that is being broken here. You do not draft without knowing what's going on. You don't.
Well,
you do not draft without knowing the rules of the league.
You're kind of missing the overarching vibe of the group and of the event.
I'm getting it, and I'm not liking it.
Well,
I like the vibe, I don't like it anymore.
Right.
These people aren't serious.
Well, they're serious enough to drive
farting around and
60
having chicken
miles
sandwiches.
From the South Bay to be here. And yeah, you win a prize, and you're already in a league with a pre-set draft, so you as the winner, you cobble together your group of friends from two different groups. You come together, and the important thing is the togetherness, Mark. It's not always about the Skrilla.
You do you,
man,
and they get to do them. I ain't getting in any draft. By the way,
and you're already out here judging them. Where's your black robe and your gavel, Judy?
Mr. Hypocrisy, you're the one that in the 95-7 draft every year loses his bananas in the middle of the draft.
Our commissioner runs it in a ramshackle fashion,
which is exactly what I'm saying.
No, their draft is above board, and just because
they don't even know what they're playing for.
They know that they're playing for the love of fantasy, and I'm getting the vibe that it's probably not $1,000 a team. It's probably like...
But maybe it will, and the fifth pick doesn't even know that. That's what I'm saying.
Sounds like you need to go have a word with them during this break,
Willard.
Yeah,
what if he's drafting, and then he finds out that this is out of his price range? This is stressful.
Yeah.
Then you have a team, and you're like, I can't afford it.
You know you're trying to avoid the punishment committee. That's for sure.
Give them a nice what for here in this
break.
Yeah,
I'm going to go get them.
That's great for future listeners.
Yeah, I'm going in there and be like, pause. Pause the draft. We got to talk.
Stay's phone's down. Pause the draft.
We're sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. This Labor Day weekend, be road trip ready with Valvoline Instant Oil Change. No appointment needed. Stay in your car while they change your oil, check your tires, battery, and fluids before you head down the coast or over the Golden Gate. Visit BayAreaOilChange.com. This is Willard and Dibs.
Pause. Man, y'all don't know the game, man. He ain't better than me. That don't have nothing to do with me. Oh, that's not fair.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I'm not going to hide from it. I'm in fantasy mode. This is just, right? This is how I am right now. That's what this week is. I don't care if it feels dorky. That's what it is. That's me being authentic. There's a draft every other night for the next week and a half.
Yeah. You're probably in too many fantasy leagues, but probably. I won't judge you for that.
What is the total number, Willard?
Five. But my sons are in multiple, and you have to hear about those and host those. Right, there's the sixth graders are getting together on Thursday night to draft. The dads will then leave that draft and go have their own. It's a lot.
He's in sixth grade now? Oh, man.
He started middle school this last week.
Mill Valley Middle? Yeah. Good for him.
Yep.
Attaboy.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's been wonderful. I'm like, just get yourself to school. You're fine.
Totally, right?
Yeah. And I'm like, what's your schedule? It's like, today we go to fifth period, and then tomorrow we go to, like, I don't understand it
block
anymore.
Schedule. Yeah.
I have no evidence that he's not been getting to all the classes, so great job, Jude. Right? But, okay. So, I went and did some recon. And
I mean, recon, you went over there and just badgered the winner.
I didn't. I talked it out with him. I said, look, I walked right over to him. I said, where's Jody? And they brought me to Jody. And I said, Jody, I have some concerns. I have some concerns that y'all are drafting without knowing what you're playing for. Because what happens if y'all decide what you're playing for? And then someone goes, I'm out. Like,
right.
That's too
rich. My team sucks. I'm
too,
not doing that.
Too rich for my blood. Well, Jody, for a minute, I thought I was playing checkers and he was playing chess. Because he fired right back at me. He goes, well, here's my thought. Everybody leaves the draft loving their team. Don't you love your team when
usually,
you leave the draft?
Yeah.
Usually. And I had one over the weekend where I was like, ugh, that didn't go well. But anyway, usually everyone walks out of there like, I won. Right? And then you get those stupid draft grades emailed to you.
I had a B-plus last year.
Which is usually a...
It's a death.
Yeah. But you walk out of there with the draft grades, and you either like, ESPN doesn't know what they're talking about, or you're like, haha, I got an A. You all suck. Like, that's the way this whole thing goes. So he thinks, wait until everyone has their team, and then it kind of feels like they're more willing to bet on that team because they like their team. That was the first thought. And I said, okay, I'm now listening. I hear you.
Right.
But I'm still, Jody, like, what happens in this case where someone feels like they got over their skis a little bit? What happens if you're all playing for $5,000 and that's not what I thought I signed up for? Jody looks at me and goes, don't worry. That will not be happening. A lot of the people are here today because they're in between jobs.
Well, there you go. There you go. That got awkward in a hurry. So,
that answered some of the other questions I had
more
going
interested
into this.
In,
how many people are going to get here at 4 o'clock on a Tuesday from San Jose? And the answer is a lot.
Well, if you're in between jobs, then you carpool. And so, you know.
Apparently.
You call Jody and say, hey, Jody, five of us are going with you. And if you're coming from San Jose, no bridge toll, which is nice.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Somebody came from Newark, so you're dealing with one of those bridges, unless you go down and around 237.
Might have swam. I don't know.
I think that's why they're maybe more focused on the last place punishment. If you're between jobs, you're more interested in watching somebody get humiliated as opposed to being out $100.
Jody promised me that the stakes would be low. The stakes would be low. But then I'm like, let me see your team, dog. Let me see what we're doing here. And remember, he had the eighth pick. He told me exactly what he told you, Lucas. He wanted Christian McCaffrey. That dream fell by the wayside. He was not able to make that happen. But instead, with the number eight pick, he selected Nico Collins, wide receiver, Houston. Now, Lucas just made a little like, kind of a look like, I mean, good, but But anyway, apparently at number 17, still available, Puka Nacua. So that's his receiving core. And then he went with some of these young pups at running back. He got Omarion Hampton from the Los Angeles Chargers, tucking R.J. Harvey from the Broncos into a little flex spot down below.
You are too into this stuff.
I blinked at that. I took a verbal or a visual snapshot of the thing. Patrick Mahomes is his quarterback, which, you know, I don't like
great
that
name
guy.
Value. Yeah, fantasy-wise, like he doesn't like, always have the biggest years.
Patrick Mahomes. But it's a nice little squad. Nice little squad. Worthy of betting $20 or more on it, as far as I'm concerned.
Not
so
bad.
Anyway,
I wonder if
we're
Mahomes,
fine. Our relationship is in good standing.
You got to figure Mahomes will be a groomsman in the Swift-Kelsey wedding.
Ooh.
I mean, Jason's got to be the best man.
The best man.
And then you start to go, I don't know how deep you go. My first marriage, I think we might have gone 6 deep. The best man and then an additional 5.
Yeah.
Second marriage. And not a sit down.
What are you planning for your third?
I'll let you know.
Okay.
I'll get back to you. I'll lean on you.
Yeah, let me know.
The expert of the hat trick.
Let me know when you need a little advice. Yeah,
and with your wife here, I probably shouldn't be so bombastic about that.
No, she's fine. She's well aware of everything that's gone on in life.
But yeah, Swift, and I'm sure there will be odds out. Jimmy Shapiro and the offshore books, odds on groomsmen for the Kelsey Swift.
Are those friendships just surface for the cameras? I don't know. What if politics comes into play? Maybe they actually don't like each other. I don't know.
There is always politics where I have two brothers, and, you know, I had one of them be the best man, which, you know, looking back, probably wasn't my best moment, wasn't my best choice. But then you got to throw the other brother in, and then you got to throw the future brother-in-law in, so you start running out of spots.
Well, like I said, for your third, now you've got two sons, so you can just let let them share the duties.
Yeah, they'll probably have to sit it out. At that point, they'll be like, Dad, again?
Yeah.
Well, really, Dad? Again?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even let my 18-year-old hold the ring. I'm like, I got it.
Totally.
Just stand there.
Everybody,
and look cute.
Sit down. Got bagels and cream cheese in 8 minutes.
Exactly.
Just sit there.
No joke. We had pizza at the wedding.
Yeah. I mean,
we had other food too,
sure.
But like, there's some kids where we're just like, you're not going to eat baked chicken. So let's just get a couple pizzas delivered. Have a good time.
We had like a brunch wedding.
Yes.
And bagels and lox and a little schmear, some fresh OJ, and
strong.
We'll see y'all tomorrow.
All right, let's go live to Who Are You Champion of 95.7 The Game.
Enough of this guy.
Mark Grandy.
into the mic.
To find out what's going to be happening coming up next in the 6 o'clock hour on 95.7 The
Game. I bet you it's a Who Are You replay.
Yeah, what's up, Mark?
No, come on, Dibs. You know me. I'm not one to toot my own horn.
No, and you're a pros pro.
No.
You take this best stuff very seriously, and I admire that.
Coming up next, Brian Baldinger on with the Morning Roast earlier today.
Okay.
And then I think we're going to hear you guys, along with Stanley and Goo, on the crossover to wrap things up.
Hey, did Baldinger have any zinger? Like, was there like a takeaway kind of a quote, you know, like Christian McCaffrey's going to break down? Or, like, was there anything from Baldy this morning? Because I didn't hear it.
You'll have to get in your car and listen, but or just use the Odyssey app and rewind.
Yeah, we can do that.
He didn't seem as in on the Brian Robinson trade as a lot of us might be.
Oh, well,
that's interesting.
That's a nice tease. All right, Grandy, congrats again, and take it away. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. One more time, congratulations to Jody and all of his friends. They've been a delight. Thanks so much to Splash at Thrive City for hosting this really, like, this is a unique, fun event. What a home run. I hope we do this every year for the rest of our lives. So thank you to Splash at Thrive City. It's nacho time. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I can't wait. Can we do it here?
Probably not, but
all right.
I'll ask.
Okay.
All right, for Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, for Tim here on site, shoot your shot. It's all you got.